The reading this morning is from Genesis 20. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die." Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this?" Abraham replied, "I said to myself, 'There is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.'" Then Abimelech bought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "My land is before you. Live wherever you like." To Sarah he said, "I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offence before you. Before all of you, you are completely vindicated." Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife and his slave girls, so they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah.
Okay, so we're in Genesis chapter 20. I think most of us here have moved house at some time. And when you're going to move house, you think about what your next door neighbours are going to be like, don't you? You're hoping that they're going to be good neighbours and helpful neighbours. Or if somebody comes and lives next to you, you hope that they'll be good neighbours. And this was the kind of situation which Abraham found himself in, because the Bible tells us that he moved, and that he moved in between Kadesh or Kadesh, whichever way you like to, posh way you like to pronounce it, and Shur. And the nearest town there was Gerar. And so he moved to Gerar. And Gerar was a important place because it was a big caravan center. It's on the border between Canaan and Egypt, what we would call today the West Bank and Egypt. So right on the border there. And Gerar was a royal town, and it had a king as well. And there was lots of things going on there. Caravan trains, camels coming in and leaving, bringing goods in and taking goods from Gerar to other parts of Egypt and the Holy Land. So it was a busy place, and there were lots of things which are going on there. And Abraham himself, he couldn't arrive unnoticed because he had a large household. He had servants, male and female, and he had slaves, and he had lots of cattle. And when he arrived, and of course it was a nomadic life, so they would have their tents and all the other things. Now, not the kind of little bivouacs that you will find in your camping shop, but they would be proper jobs, you know, about 20 foot long, I would think, to get them all. So, when Abraham arrived with his gang, people would soon say, well, hang on, what's this new family which are moving down the road? We better check them out, and so on. And one of the things that, and I'm sure that the king said had his officials who would go out and just making sure that the new neighbours around about were okay. They were not troublemakers, because the king, of course, would be responsible for security and so on. So it would be soon known that Abraham was here with all his household, but also his wife was spied. And even though she was 90, the Bible tells us, apparently she was still a handsome, good-looking woman, because the king took her into his palace. You might well laugh down here, but that's what the Bible tells us. And so there we are. Now, I'm afraid that Abraham, he had made a mistake right from the start. Because what he said to Sarah, his wife, he said, tell people that you are not my wife, but that you are my sister. So as a good wife, of course, she agreed. But of course, it became a bit of a problem when the king took Sarah into his palace. This was not a sensible decision on Abraham's part. And you can say to yourself, as I said to myself, what was Abraham thinking about? But Abraham would not be the first person in the Bible to make a mistake, nor would we be the first people to make a mistake on any of these things. I certainly wouldn't be going around telling people that my wife is my sister, because she looks nothing like me for a start. But there we are. So, why should Abraham do this? Well, because he was afraid. That was the crux of the matter. He was afraid that if in fact people thought that it was his wife, that they would kill him so that they could take his wife away. But there was one big factor which he'd missed out. You know the factor he missed out, don't you? He missed out God in this. And when I was saying, talking to, before, and we're saying that people take for granted all that we have, people, most of the people who live in this country forget that it's God who's in charge and that all things belong to him. So, Abraham was afraid and he took this decision of saying that his wife was his sister. And Abimelech, who is the king of Gerar, he takes Sarah into his household in the palace. Now, I said that Abraham was afraid regarding his wife, but now I'm sure he's worried about his wife. What is going to happen? What will take place in the palace? He has no control over that, of course. And fortunately for Abraham, God steps in. He steps in on his behalf and warns Abimelech in a dream about this situation. You know, one of the great things about belonging to God, we're never quite sure how he's working on our behalf. I hope you believe that as a believer and follower of Jesus, that God is working on your behalf. The Bible makes it quite clear that God watches over us and that in Romans it says, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so, we never quite know what God is doing behind the scenes of our lives. Those things which concern us, those things which worry us, those things which keep you ladies awake at night, and for all of the other things which go on. We're never quite sure how God is working, but he is working. And we sing a hymn from time to time. God is working his purposes out as year succeeds to year. And we thank God for that, because he does work on behalf of those he loves. And God says to Abimelech in the dream, you are as good as dead. You know, see that God doesn't mess about with these things. He's straightforward. We know where we are. You are as good as dead because this woman you have taken is a married woman. And if you look at verses 4 and 5 of chapter 20, this is Abimelech's reply. Now Abimelech had not gone near her, that's Sarah, so he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, that's Abraham, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. Abimelech is right. He's the innocent person. He hasn't done anything wrong. But again, God speaks to him in verses 6 and 7. And God says this, then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience. And so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die. Abimelech really had to do as he was told. Otherwise, he was going to die. So early the next morning, Abimelech calls all his officials together and he tells them what has happened and what God has said. And the Bible tells us that they are very much afraid. So they should be. Because when God speaks, he doesn't go back on his word. So they should be afraid, because there is a possibility that God will kill them if they do not obey him. Now, the king needs to know why Abraham has lied about his wife. He calls Abraham to the palace, and in verse 9, we read this. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, what have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done. And Abimelech asked him, well, what is the reason for doing this? And Abraham answers, I said to myself, there is no fear of God in this place. And they will kill me because of my wife. There is no fear of God in this place. And they will kill me because of my wife. How do you think Abraham felt? Do you think he was thinking to himself, I should have really trusted God in this. I was a fool to say that Sarah was my sister. You know, the Bible doesn't hold back on highlighting the weaknesses of individuals. Have you noticed that? That the Bible tells it as it is. It doesn't gloss over. Talks about the weaknesses of individuals. This is the second time that Abraham has told a lie about his wife. For those of you who know your Bibles and you know about Abraham, because in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham did exactly the same thing. I'm not going to make mention about men and doing things and being told and so on, but he did exactly the same thing again. In Genesis chapter 12, we read that Abraham was in Egypt. And he said to Sarah, "Tell people that you are my sister, for they may kill me if they find out that you are my wife." Exactly the same scenario. And what happens? King Pharaoh takes Sarah into his palace. Exactly the same thing again. And God has to step in to rescue Abraham and to rescue Sarah from that situation. What we learn from this passage of Scripture is that Abraham has a weakness. When this kind of thing happens, he tells a lie. But we all have weaknesses, don't we? And it's good when we recognize our weaknesses. And when we know how to watch out for those times when we could fall into sin or do wrong. When we lived in the Northwest and the church we went to there, one of the deacons said to me once, he said, "You know, I know what my weakness is." I'm sure he had more than one, but he said, "Gambling is a problem." He said, "I know that if I went near a card table," he said, "I could soon get drawn into wanting to get involved and start gambling." And he said, "I just can't afford to go near a card table or anything like that." He recognized it and he made sure that he avoided those kind of situations. We need to recognize our weaknesses and also to avoid going to those places, looking at those websites, reading those magazines and books which would draw us away from God and into wrongdoing, into sin. Sometimes people are wrong for us and we need to avoid certain people because they, our weaknesses then fall into place with the kind of things that they would want to do and draw us into. We can always, of course, ask God to help us in our weaknesses. We need to rely on Him to keep away from those things that would tempt us and cause us to do wrong. We have a Savior who cares for us and knows our weaknesses and will help us in these things. We need to ask God to help us to keep away from those things that would tempt us away from the Lord Himself. But also with Abraham, there was a lack of trust in God. There's no doubt about that. In Genesis chapter 15, God says to Abraham, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield." That's good, isn't it? "Do not be afraid," God says to him. "I am your shield." I think Abraham had forgotten that. God had told Abraham that he would protect him and he would be a father of a great nation. But Abraham's problem was he was trusting on his own self-reliance. This is what I'll do. It'll work out. No, it won't, Abraham. It won't work out at all. How many times have we maybe thought that we'd go our own way and it hasn't quite worked out? If we have a problem, you know where our first port of call is, don't you? It's to God. I know you absolutely know that. If you don't, you should know that. When we've got a problem, when we've got a difficulty, when we've got something which is really going to be a problem in our life, our first port of call is God and looking for His wisdom and His help and asking for His guidance. So Abraham trusted in his own self-reliance, his own initiative, his own wisdom, and he got it wrong. And you know, as Christians, we are to live lives of faith as we go forward, trusting in Jesus. That's the way we go forward. That's God calls us after Him. In Proverbs chapter 3, you know this. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know it. We can't afford to forget it, can we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We need to believe what the Bible says and go forward with a positive attitude, trusting in the Lord. Are Christians supposed to have a positive attitude? Yes, they are. We read that in the New Testament. Peter writes about that. So we ask God to help us to go forward with that kind of attitude and in faith. So how did this incident with Abimelech and Sarah end? Well, although Abraham behaved in a manner unworthy of the God he belonged to, God was gracious to Abraham. And we find that King Abimelech gives sheep and cattle and slaves to Abraham and returned Sarah as well. And said to Abraham, "You can live anywhere in my country." That was a good ending for Abraham, wasn't it? A good ending for Sarah. But that was because God was watching over them. And the king said to Sarah, "I am giving you 1,000 shekels of silver to cover the offense I have caused you." So in fact, God blessed Abraham, even though he'd done wrong. He blessed him with more cattle and more slaves and with more cash. And then God used Abraham to pray for the king. Look at these verses in verses 17 and 18. "Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls, so they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah." This was another thing which God had done behind the scenes, which nobody knew about. Abraham wasn't aware of it. Abimelech wasn't aware of it. But God had closed up wounds. You might say, well, why would God do that? Well, God had decided that he was going to do it. Because if Abimelech was not going to toe the line, God was going to say, okay, there'll be no kids in your house for a while. Because all the wounds had been closed up. It's another example of God working behind the scenes. And I don't know about you, as you look out onto the world in which we live in, and you read your newspapers and you see the news on the TV and you hold up your hands and you say, what's going to happen next? I hope you're trusting in God for this world, because he's got his hands on this world. The Bible tells us that. It says that heaven and earth belong to God. And you may hear all kinds of scare stories about what is going to go on in the world. There's a verse in the Old Testament which says, even though the mountains fall into the sea, still I will trust God. It's a great verse, that, isn't it? Even though the mountains fall into the sea, yet I will trust God. And as we go forward holding God's hand, that is the way we Christians are to say, well, I know there's all kinds of problems in the world. I know things that could happen. But I'm holding on to God's hand because everything is in his hands. There was a song which was very popular in the 60s, which was He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. You remember it? We must have sung it 100 times, I think, but it was popular. He's got the whole world in his hands, and so he has as well. So what we see as we come to the end of this is that God showed his grace to Abraham by helping him and protecting him. Although Abraham had done wrong and he told lies. Why should God do this? Why? Because he had committed himself to Abraham. God is so great. And in the prayers of intercession, we were reminded about that from what Kerrigan said. God is great beyond our understanding. And yet, when he commits himself to something, he carries it out. He keeps his word. And he had committed himself to Abraham in a covenant or an agreement, and Abraham belonged to God. God had said to Abraham, you are my chosen man. A great nation will come from you. You're the nation which will come from you are as numerous as the sand on the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky. But you know, for us, the great thing for us is that as followers of Jesus, God has committed himself to us. I hope you find encouragement with that, because I do. That as a follower of Jesus, God has committed himself to me, and he's committed himself to you, because he's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us his promises. And as the Bible says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. So when we get it wrong, we can always come to God and say, Father, I've said this, I've done this, I've thought this, and I know I shouldn't have done. Forgive me, please. God forgives us every time for the things that we get wrong and for the things that we do. We have a great Savior in Jesus who died for us on the cross. And God has committed himself to us as God committed himself to Abraham.